in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. From that moment on, real life began. Senior high, girlfriends, football games, graduation. Summer break, spend my time filling out applications. Sometimes I look back on these 30 some odd years, counting the twists and turns that slow.
And joining us right now is Jeff Carson, the well-known country singer. And inside the static here, we're going to try to talk to him here at PMP Network. And you, of course, know some of his songs like The Car and Real Life. And he's got a brand new one out that is really a nice song. I kind of enjoy it. And we're going to talk to him a little bit about it. It's called I Can Only Imagine. How are you, Jeff?
I'm doing fine, Mark. Thanks for having me on, man.
It's nice to have you. Tell us a little bit about your background. Where are you from, and how'd you get into the business?
Well, I'm originally from Tulsa. I was born in Tulsa, but I call Northwest Arkansas home. I grew up in a little town of Gravett, Arkansas, about 10 miles from Oklahoma and 7 from Missouri, right up in the northwest corner. And been in Nashville now about 13 years. I moved to Nashville from playing in Branson, Missouri for a number of years, and moved to Nashville to try to get a record deal, and 6 years later it happened.
Wow. Now, tell us a little bit about the time before that 6 years. I assume you were going all over the place, playing anywhere they'd have you, and when did you start writing songs?
Well, I didn't start writing songs probably till I was about 22 years old. I'd never written a song. I think the problem was that I always ran into is I had listened to so much music and that every time I sit down to try to write a song, 10 other songs that I knew just like it would pop into my head. Hmm. So that was a kind of a hard thing, obstacle for me to get over. Once I moved to Nashville, I was one of the fortunate ones to get right into playing music. I never had to do anything that wasn't music related since I moved to Nashville. So that was a kind of rarity, I think. I started playing at the Opryland Hotel and put my own little trio together out there, and during that time started singing demos for other songwriters and got to know other songwriters and learned the craft from some great songwriters here in Nashville.
Hmm. Now, was there any people growing up that you were listening to that you think might have influenced the way you write and the way you sing?
Well, I got some great influence. Merle Haggard John Conley, Vern Godson, but I think more than anything, as far as songwriting, I think I get a lot of my, I'm sure a lot of chord progressions and all that come through from James Taylor. I've always been a big fan of his.
Mm-hmm. James Taylor, of course, more folk than country, though.
Right. Yeah, and I just always loved his writing and his. Pretty chords, and I remember getting a chord book of his and still learning chords that guy comes up with.
Now, it sounds interesting that you mention him. I love his music. I like yours as well. But there's also kind of a spiritual tone sometimes to James Taylor's work, and that has there's a component of that to yours as well.
Well, some of the songs that that I've had out through the years have crossed over on the Christian charts, and totally unintentional. I wasn't ever trying to go the Christian route. I am a Christian, but don't get me wrong, but I'm not one to wear it on my sleeve. I guess those kind of particular songs that could that can be played on the Christian type charts. Just kind of reflect my personality. I unintentionally look for those kind of songs.
I noticed, in fact, that you covered songs like "Butterfly Kisses" that Bob Carlyle did.
Right. Yeah. That was that was a kind of bad note. That kind of stuck in my craw a little bit. That was an idea from the label to record that song, and we didn't know that, or I didn't know that that Bob Carlyle was cutting the country version. And I was familiar with his version, very very good. And of course, he wrote it. It's his mm-hmm. song. And he cut a country version, and then the Raven brothers, Marty Raven, used to be with Shenandoah. He and his brother cut a version of that. So there were three of us going for ads at the same time on the same song. That was really confusing to a lot of the listeners.
Yeah. How much touring do you do?
Do a lot of touring right now. I'm joined up with the Honky Tonk Tailgate Tour. That's me and Daryl Singletary and Red Akin and Chad Brock. And we're real busy all through the year.
So are you actually on the road right now?
No, actually, I'm home. Home for about three more days. I got to sleep in my own bed last night.
Now, you're married as well, right?
Yes, my wife and I have been married, gosh, this December will be 16 years.
Wow.
And we have our first baby on the way coming this late November.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you. Isn't that great?
Maybe a musical package?
I hope so. It's going to be a little boy. We did find that out, so I'll be glad to show him a few chords. I kind of learned, I think, from my parents. They were great in bringing me up and never really pushing anything on me. I think if you push a little one too hard in one direction, I might, if I was pushed to practice guitar or something like that, I may have been turning my nose up at it. I learned from the best, I believe.
Now, so how old were you when you started playing guitar?
I started playing bass. A kid who was about 2 years older than me in church had an evangelist come, and his son was a couple years older than me and played bass guitar. And I thought that was, man, that's cool, you know, that big low-down bass sounding macho thing. And so I asked Mom and Dad for a bass guitar then, and I know they didn't have the money, but they somehow scraped it up and got me a bass guitar and an amplifier. So I practiced on the bass quite a bit, and I guess I picked up the guitar a few years later. I woke up from a dream I was having. I was about probably sixth grade, and I had a dream that I was playing guitar, and all these pretty chords were coming out of it, and in this dream, it was so cool. And I woke up from the dream, and I thought, man, I'm going to start playing guitar. And Mom always had a guitar laying around the house, and I started practicing about that next day.
Tell me a little bit about, I Can Only Imagine, where did that come from?
Actually, Mercy Me, the Christian act, on Curb Records,
uh-huh.
on the Christian side of Curb Records, and Mercy Me had a real big hit on that song. It did really well on the Christian charts, even crossed over on some of the pop charts, and so it was suggested to me, it's kind of like Butterfly Kisses, it was suggested to me and Mike Curb to go in the studio and record this song and put it out on the country charts. And when I first heard it, I really hesitated, you know, like I said, it's pretty blatantly Christian, and I just didn't know if it was too Christian for the country format. So I took it home and lived with it a couple days, it's a beautiful song. It has a great message. So if it does nothing else, but then get that message out to a few people.
Yeah, I don't think there's any such thing as being too Christian anyway.
Yeah.
It's either positive, negative, or no message at all, you know?
Right.
But it's interesting because, you know, I've had Billy Ray Cyrus on the show as well, and Billy Ray has cut a lot of songs that are religious as well because he's very, very involved in that. But mm-hmm. none of them have crossed over into the Christian charts, though.
Well, let's some of the songs that I wrote a song with Jim Weatherly. We had a cut here last year by Kenny Rogers. So we write quite a bit together. And one particular song I had out that we wrote was one that it could be put to thank your talking about, you know, your significant other one about always wanting to be with you and that kind of thing, or you could put it toward your Lord. So it's that kind of thing. Until I can only imagine that kind of idea has always crossed over onto the Christian charts.
Jeff, I'm really sorry about this connection. It's horrid, and it's on our end. It's compliments of Verizon, the Boston area phone company that doesn't seem to be able to provide any good service.
But we're just lucky we have electricity, huh?
Well, I guess that's true. We are lucky we have electricity, and as a matter of fact, the water, the well here that powers our water was broken for 4 days, so we had no water as well.
Oh God.
So I guess we can be thankful for some things, but again, I want to thank Verizon for the static in the conversation we're having with Jeff Carson. Now, Jeff, you have a very interesting website. It's jeffcarson.net.
Yes.
For folks who want to check out your stuff. Your schedule's up there, right?
Yeah, sure is, on the tour page, and I've had a lot of people, back when I was first getting into knowing what the internet was and all that, jeffcarson.com was already taken up by somebody, and I contacted that person. I assumed it was someone who bought the domain and then was wanting to resell it to me, but that wasn't the case. It's actually a guy named Jeff Carson, and he has a picture up there with a couple of his beautiful little children on it.
Huh.
You'd be surprised how many people comment to me how pretty my children are. I said, no, you went and gone to jeffcarson.com.
Is he going to put a little note on his site to send your traffic to you?
Yeah, actually, after he had received a lot of email, I think he put a link on his front page saying something to the effect of, I am not the country singer, and he put a link to mine on that.
That's a good one. Now, how long have you been with Mike Kerb's organization?
That's the only label I've ever been on. I was signed in 94, and after my first album came out in 95 is when I had Not On Your Love and The Car and Holding On to Something, and that's kind of when it all started.
Wow. It's kind of unusual to be with the same record label all your career.
It really is. It's a rarity. You know, anymore these days, even if you have chart success, if you don't sell a million albums out of the box, you're pretty much history.
Hmm. Well, you know, you mentioned the internet for a moment. What do you think of the internet as a way of promoting music? Do you think that it's counterproductive, or is it costing artists too much money, or is it actually a good way to promote music?
Well, it can do. It can promote, and it can also. I know it's hurting a lot of the artists and songwriters and record labels from the standpoint of downloadable music. So it has its pros and cons. It's definitely a way to get yourself out there and be known better. You know, play a lot of dates on the road and suggest them looking at the website, and you'll be surprised how many emails I get through people that way.
Hmm. Well, Jeff, it was a pleasure talking to you, and I want to wish you a lot of luck with the tour and the new CD, and hopefully we can have you back another time on a clear line.
Oh, well, thank you, Mark. I'd love that.
All right, take care.
Okay, buddy, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.